Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello.
Lately, we've been talking about money from different aspects. And our general goal is to develop awareness and improve our lives. The topic we chose to discuss with you today, Dr. Lightman, is money and the pleasures of life. Money and the quality of life. When we told our friends that we're going to talk to you about this topic, they all expressed great excitement. We received plenty of questions in many fields, and also that Nitza is full of joy toward our discussion today. So, please, take it away. Yeah, the subject of leisure, culture, and quality of life is something that tremendously developed in recent years. In the last 20 years, more or less, people want to travel, want to hang out, want to have fun. Meaning, the basic things have been achieved. And now they want to enjoy themselves. One of the things that people love the most is traveling abroad. In Israel and abroad, it's a field that I was engaged in tourism for many years. And what we always talked about is that we're selling people a dream. People, they work very hard for it. And clearly, there's a connection between money and pleasure, money and the quality of life. That's how it works. Now, I remember that people, what they used to enjoy was when we used to publish brochures, they enjoyed the colors, cultures, smells, new foods, unmediated contact with other people, to be exposed to other traditions, ceremonies. It really excited people, and to this day, people love it. Of course, they also love shopping and other things too, but this is something that we'll talk about later. The quality of life, fun. How will the new world, the new reality, the new life that we're talking about here, how will it be manifested? How will the quality of life improve in the new reality? How many times do you think that a person would travel abroad if he had infinite options? He'd do it all the time? No. Not unlimitedly, but of course, I think at least once or twice a year. So still, he needs to go back to his ordinary life. Eventually, yes. Not because of the money. I'm talking about pleasure, that every pleasure comes to an end at a certain point, it starts declining, your eyes are full of landscapes and things, and then you need to go back to something ordinary, and then once again to live your day-to-day life, accumulate a deficiency, desire, appetite, even feel a hunger for these new things, to be a bit on the edge of your seat, wanting to fly someplace. You don't feel that good here anymore. You need to go out someplace there for 2-3 weeks, tops. You can't take more than that. You have to go back home. And once you come back home, you start feeling that maybe it's not that great. It was better there. And that's how a person is in between the two all the time. Meaning we can't feel tastes without an appetite, hunger, and you need to have hunger in order to feel the tastes. You can't have one without the other, first and foremost. Meaning, it's good to have fun if you have an appetite for it. God forbid a person that's ill, he doesn't think about hanging out, having fun, he only thinks about his health. If he's hungry, then all of his thoughts are only about food. If he has everything and still something's missing, then he's thinking in some other place I'll have more, and here's where advertisement comes in. It's like adding sour and spicy things in the beginning of the meal in order to awaken your appetite, so advertisement works here, and we stimulate a person, and they're ready. It's all true. But how do we? Well, if our life's not that great, then obviously a person's willing to listen. about new things. But suppose he has everything. He's content. How can we persuade him to this new life? First of all, we need to think about the deficiency. Why would he want it? How can we pull him to this? Why? What kind of adventure, travel, landscapes, new tastes can I promise a person that he will get as a result of precisely buying my ticket? And fly, that he'll rise to something new. Who will he ask? Shouldn't I travel? You can't believe this company. It might go bankrupt, or who knows what is it selling, etc., etc. And the place that he's traveling to now, is it not dangerous? There are many details. I remember that once, when trips abroad, suppose 30 years ago, they weren't so common yet. Then there was like a group meeting, and people were told, where are we going, and let's get to know each other, and what to pay, who to pay, how to behave. Israelis were prepared for these kinds of things. Now we're already used to it. No one does that anymore. We were abroad dozens of times, and it's not a problem anymore. The question is different. How do we, as a unique company, as a new travel company called the New World, suppose, or something like that, how do we publicize ourselves, advertise ourselves, so that by it we will awaken an appetite for precisely for our trip? How are we better than others? We're better than others in that, first of all, we tell a person that you can enjoy anything that you enjoy in your day-to-day life in Israel and abroad. You can go abroad, you can stay in Israel, you can be anywhere. You can be completely unlimited. Only what I'm selling you is an entrance into a good feeling that is ceaseless, that broadens your vision to the very distance, and you always see that things are great. Everything's according to how you want it. The sky, the sun, the clouds, however you want it, according to your mood. Maybe according to your mood. What suits you now is night, with the moon and the stars, and the oceans and the waves. They're all quiet. Or to the contrary, you want sun, you want action. Jeeps in the desert, whatever you want. Or you want mountains full of snow, whatever you want. The different tastes which you have tasted and those that you have not yet tasted and those that you can't taste, by the way, we can give you these kinds of trips, travels. And such trips in which you feel that you're on an adventure all the time, that you're constantly renewing. And this renewal is very special in that the more you enjoy, the more you want to enjoy. You're never satiated, and that's what's interesting, that in any other pleasure, you're filled, you're clogged. And that's it. You don't want it anymore. You're tired. Everything's of the ordinary already. You even get mad at the end of the trip. You want to go home. In the last few days, you're waiting for the end to come. This fatigue due to the excessive impressions, etc., etc., it passes. You know, how much can you take? I remember once I traveled with my wife to New York. She used to draw. And I needed to accompany her to all the different museums. After 2 days, I was full. And she still inquiring of this and that, different places, only art. It was very tiring. And so the question is, but I endured it and I felt it really well. It was a long time ago. So what I want to say is that here we're selling a person a feeling of the good life. Wherever he is, whatever a person does, in whatever society a person's in, and even in the good and bad states that we always have in life that come in waves, a person will always feel himself connected to the good.
He'll know why is he going through whatever it is that he's experiencing. He'll know the reason and what needs to be done and the outcome. And both in the cause and the realization and the result, he'll feel good because he's connected to something that is whole, perfect, and eternal. I remember I felt it for the very first time when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I think. And my parents, they told me that in a month, we are going to take the train 1,500 kilometers to the Black Sea. And there, we're taking a big ship, the biggest there is in the Black Sea. And we're flying through the Black Sea to some place next to Turkey. And there, there will be a special place with parks and camping and everything. And we're going to go back. We're going to fly back through several cities. A 3 or 4 week trip. I don't exactly remember how long, but I remember my inspiration that during that month, I didn't care about anything that goes on. I was a child. I was all the time about, soon I'm going to travel. I'm going to go. It was this special kind of excitement that it shines for you right now, and the entire month you don't care about what goes on. There were as if bad things, good things, with my friends, with different things. They called me for different bicycle trips. I remember we went to the lake to swim and everything. I didn't feel that. I did it together with them, but I didn't feel in it neither pleasure nor suffering, but it was all on the way. I was inspired under the impression of the future. And really, this feeling, the impression of the future, is the best feeling. That then you go through your day-to-day life with an addition from that future illumination that shines upon you and quenches everything that goes on with you right now. It's even said that by this hope, by this future, a person can cure himself and rise above all his problems. He has tremendous inner forces, mental forces, that he can rise above any problems in life. This is somewhat similar to what we want to sell to our customers. Not that it's some kind of an unreachable dream, not at all, but that every time you attain and it develops into something new, you attain and it develops into something new and more, meaning that you go and add all the time. This is a process that doesn't exist in any other method. And this is what I think we need to explain to people first and foremost. This one thing. Another thing is that what we attain, what we achieve, that doesn't disappear, but is only added up. We attain that which does not interfere with a person's day-to-day life. It doesn't take away from your normal excitement, like it was for me in childhood, that I wasn't that inspired about riding a bike with them or going to the lake to swim or different other things that kids do, play tennis, soccer. But it simply adds a background of the good life. Life's good. You have now, and even if it's a bit more or a bit less, you won, you lost, it does make changes, but it's all on the background of that good thing, so it always keeps you in uplifted spirits. The adventure that we offer a person is one that constantly expands his senses and his mind. He constantly feels more, deeply, understands the reasons. For example, I see a landscape, or I see animals, doesn't matter what, or people, or I see the landscape of mountains and hills, suppose, or I see animals on the grass, in the field, even on the safari, or I see how people that live their life are walking around Broadway, the millions that go by. I don't just see some external picture, like a child, or even like a grown-up. But what I see is the depth of the picture, what's beneficial, what adds, what motivates them, what do they want as a result, where is everyone running and what are they doing, why are they moving like this and he's moving like that, etc., etc. I, as if when I look at this picture, I can already depict to myself what will happen the next moment. Because all in all, what motivates them is the desire, a deficiency. And then when I look at them, I already understand in a moment and in another one what will happen. I as if see a movie that I already watched. Or, let's put it this way, I see one step ahead of them, and it's very interesting. Besides, when I feel them, I also feel the force of nature that drives them, holds them, that advances them, the general plan of what goes on here. Why are they moving? Down below, there's some kind of engine, and they, like these kinds of miniature figures, move around, and this engine moves them one toward the other, and then they come and in some way or in some kind of contact with each other. And what goes on here? I mean, I see this general theater, and what is this entire act? What is it drawn to? This gives me a sense of a whole and complete life. That all in all, I then all the time look at this life as a kind of realization of the thought of creation, the thought of nature, that in front of me, that nature is playing out, this great, big, rich act right in front of me that's very multifaceted and deep. This impression, I can't even compare it, the measure to which it fulfills and appeals and ties me to reality more than the ordinary travels that you miss or engaged in. And it doesn't erase one another. We only give a person here the ability to add. And on this new background, that his senses open up and he also sees with his mind, with his inner observation, he chooses where to be. I actually don't feel myself disconnecting from other things. Of course, I don't run to do everything, but same trips in nature, go for a walk, be in different places, get to know different cultures. Almost most of the time, I like nature more. I really like it, to go to the Alps, different places, go, walk, see, breathe. It's very good. This is what I think. So there are many more things that exist in my travel pack, but I think that by it, a person that enters the acquaintance with what I'm, becomes acquainted with what I'm offering here, he starts feeling his life, what goes on with him, people's thoughts, desires, what drives them, and then it's easier for him in life. And also a condition for getting to know them is not to harm them. Otherwise, it disappears from him. So there are different conditions here in order to enter this trip, let's call it. Well, like with little children, for example, when we look at them, it doesn't matter what a child does, like this or like that. It's ordinary. We just make sure that he doesn't harm, especially himself. And so there's the same kind of observation, meaning in his day-to-day life, too, a person acquires the tools as to how to correctly arrange his life in a good, nice, comfortable, and easy way. And by it, he doesn't limit or harm anyone in any way. To the contrary, the people around him can even feel more comfortable, more comfortably. Depends what kind of connection he is with them, that either he's not felt at all, or he's accepted this way. In short, there is a kind of agent here from a special company, travel company, that's selling something of his own, some special thing, some specific thing. And I think there is room for it in the market, because the truth is that he doesn't become anyone's competitor in any way. Those that advertise different foods that TV is full of, how to prepare food, someone advertises new books, theater, songs, something, travel, the same trips, whatever it is. All the hangouts, all the things that a person wants to fulfill himself with, please. My advertisement does not contradict them. I'm not in any kind of competition with them, but only to add, it's very important if I emphasize it. And again, the additional thing here is that every time that a person is at the beginning of the trip, he wants to continue and continue it, and this is how he goes and develops really limitlessly. The sky is the limit, really, without going back, equipping yourself with some kind of appetite again, hunger, you don't need it. The new tastes come with a new appetite. What's good about my trip is that it is affordable for anyone. The money I demand, the payment I demand for it, is in a currency that everyone has. For this, you don't need to bother and work. And then you save, suppose, money for 6 months, and then you can allow yourself to be abroad only for a week, or once a year for 2 or maybe 3 weeks. It also depends with the entire family, or only you, you and your wife, etc., etc. But here, you're unlimited by anything. No one limits you. You pay by your inner exertion, by your desire, by your inner effort, and this is actually your money. So here, I'm really not in competition with anyone. But here it's a matter of exertion, meaning what you pay with. That if everywhere a person knows that he earns so and so much, suppose the trip costs $2,000, ticket, hotel, food, etc., etc., you really limit yourself down to basic things for a week, $2,000. Here, I know how much I need to work, how much I need to save, what currency do I need, etc., etc. And I buy a ticket, I go. Here I know all the different things that I do on all the other trips. I go to a bar with my friends, so it will cost me such and such, time and money, etc. Or I go to the theater or a coffee shop, some cafe, some concert. And here I need to pay with a currency where I need to prepare the effort by myself, the inner effort. How do I arrange my senses, desires, and thoughts to see this world in the way in which it behaves, in the way it's handled, the way it's twisted and turned by nature. I said I like taking trips in nature. So it's really a trip in nature, but it's traveling in your inner nature. It's not that I see hills and some kind of valley or Grand Canyon or other things, Yellowstone, different pretty things, or the Alps, Niagara Falls, different places. There are many places in the world. But here, I enter the internality of nature, that which stands behind all those pictures that I see with my bare eye. I see here how from beneath comes a force and enlivens everything, people and me, and how this force, where is it leading all the still, the vegetative and the animate, including human beings?
These landscapes that I see, and through them, I see the reasons for which they exist, and how they exist, for what and what goes on with them, how that force of nature enlivens them. For me, they come alive. That previously, they were like a picture that was drawn, and that's how it stays. And suddenly the picture comes alive, like in Harry Potter. I once saw a clip from the movie that they opened the book, and then the picture in the book starts moving. So it's the same thing here, that you see the world, and it's not as if it's drawn, depicted in front of you, that it moves, but it moves mechanically. But the force that moves it, that governs and controls it. And here, you attain something that we don't know how much it fulfills us. You achieve harmony, connection between all parts of creation, between the flower and the grass and the animal on it and man and the moon and the sun. You see how all these things live off that one force, that one program. What connection is there between all of them? How they're all interconnected and interdependent, giving life to each other. And this connection is the greatest pleasure. It says about this that there is no greater pleasure than the resolution of doubts. Doubts meaning that this and this and that exist, and it seems to us as though, and suddenly you see the harmony. We can't imagine the measure to which, when we see nature, that it's like an orchestra, that they're tuning their instruments before some symphony, that it's all one big noise, meaning something that you can't listen to. But what can you do? This is what they do. So this how this world seems to us, unless I see it from the inside too. And if I start feeling it on the inside, then I see the symphony. It's really a divine symphony. And that's the trip. Obviously, from that, I start discovering everything that goes on in my life. What's the reason? Why? What for? I start relating to life more calmly because I'm not the one governing it, but I'm being governed. And along with it, I start seeing to what extent do I participate in it? Why yes? Why not? Etc. I become a partner to what goes on with me and the world. I become an active partner. It opens up a person and rids him of many problems. Meaning the trip is an adventure that develops the person, fulfills him, and that takes him on a really ever higher, ever deeper trip. And the colors, they're already like on a computer screen. You have 18 million colors, and the sounds too. It's infinite, not from 0 to 20 kilohertz, what our ear perceives, but really limitlessly in each and every field. This is how we come to the trip. Could even be without moving from our place, or it could be like any other ordinary trip, that we walk, we hike, on the grass, in the nearby safari, doesn't matter where. The main thing is that even from the smallest detail in nature, that we see the forms of the still vegetative animate and people, we can see to the depth of these four parts of nature, the still vegetative, animate, and the human level. We can see to their very depth, to their root that operates them out of the deep thought of nature. This is the trip. It's an inner trip. It's called inner observation or inner reflection. And again, any person can sign up. Any person can take this trip to as far as they like. They can stop halfway through. Each time that a person advances, he needs to pay for his advancement by himself. The company doesn't take any percentage. No one earns from it, but a person, himself, what he pays is what he gets. Without taxes, without any VAT, without nothing. Now you, as an experienced agent, can elaborate on it. I'm starting to write my next guide. When you described it, it was like moving from black and white technology to color TV to 3D. Everything comes alive in a very special way. What I'd like to also feel, what you described here, is connection to nature with all of its aspects. What feeling will we have between us people when I meet a different culture or even within my own culture? What kind of multifaceted feeling will I have toward other people? It's very interesting that the journey into the depth of nature does not quench any little things that we see on the superficial level. When I go into restaurants or to watch a concert somewhere abroad or museums, in general, whatever. A local cultural event, as you know, they usually show. I enjoy the external form, and I delve deeper in to see their inner root. And for me, it's a kind of adventure, because all in all, what I see here are aspects of the inner force of nature and the measure to which it shaped different creatures in the world. And through all these creatures, that eventually I discover the force of nature even more deeply, more broadly. Therefore, you enjoy both. I can go and watch a flamenco show, or watch some Irish culture, Japanese, and along with it to really get a good lesson on the different inner forms that I see, besides what I see with the naked eye. And it's interesting every time how a person acts on the outside and what motivates him on the inside. It's like kind of psychology, but far, far deeper. It's like we see on children. We know what goes on here, why does he behave the way that he does, etc. But here it's much deeper, because it's not that important to me how one acts, but that by it I attain the inner force of nature in a broader and more multifaceted aspect.
So what's good about these trips is that they don't erase any impression of anything. No matter what I saw and how much of it, I'll be glad to go on a trip again, see landscapes, I especially like landscapes, etc., etc. I like adventures. I think all people like adventures. Now I just bought myself a ticket. In a few weeks, I'm going to fly in a plane on my own. I like this kind of adventure. Anything. It's actually to the contrary. These kinds of trips, the internal ones, they constantly keep a person in a kind of adventure like a child. And he all the time has bigger and bigger eyes. He wants more. This is what I really liked about what you said, because I know from my experience and the experience of the people that I see, that in the past, before a trip, you used to get excited a month or two in advance and a month after that. And here you go on a trip. 3 days later, someone asks you, how was it? Ask, how was what? You don't even remember. The pleasure became shorter and something that people really feel. And here you're talking about an excitement that only goes and grows. Yeah, of course, the world became very universal. You have the same everywhere, same food, almost the same clothes, same culture. There are barely any differences. You don't have those ancient cultures anymore like in the past. But folklore that goes to different places, that they give you a kind of artificial show. That's all erased. The entire world is like painted in the same color. Suppose now we already have a new guide with a new trip. Previously, a person knew that he needs to plan, needs to save buck for buck, save a certain amount in order to go on a trip. What do I need to do now in order to go on this trip? How do I prepare myself for this trip? This trip depends on the preparation, meaning we need to save money. So we save in that we are preparing ourselves. We come to the guide and we go through certain guidance. A bit more and a bit more, I suppose. If over a period of 6 months I need to save $2,000 or $3,000, then once a week I need to work one more day, suppose. As an example, so really once a week or each and every day I need to add an hour in order to prepare myself for the trip. Each time it's an hour of my exertion that I'm saving in order to go into that adventure. But the truth is that the adventure practically is from the very start, from where you start saving. Yeah. And then I see that it's not that I'm saving now and I'll get the pleasure in 6 months maybe, but each time it happens on the spot. And the work that I need to do in order to save the money, it's that I need to study how to go into this trip. How do you deepen into nature? Like speleologists that go into the ground, discover large caves, voids, maybe special forms of life there. So the same way, inside us, we need to open additional senses so that through this superficial picture of nature, we need to see how do we penetrate it. Meaning we have our five ordinary senses, like all other creatures do, even animals and fish, or at least we're very close to each other. But the thing is, how do I expand them or altogether develop new senses? In order to permeate nature, I need to add not my senses, but my inner ability, emotionally and intellectually, so that the impressions that I get from the world, that these impressions, that I'll correctly decipher them, that now I'm getting plenty of information from the world, but I don't know how to perceive it. I don't know how to decipher it. That's why my brain is getting some kind of a very small measure from my vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch. A very small portion. And I only call it hearing, seeing, smell, taste, touch. The truth is that the pipeline is very big to each and every sense, only that it's narrowed down to the picture that I see, to what I hear. But if I, and here we're talking about especially our inner senses, if I expand them, I don't need stronger glasses or a device to hear with, but on the inside I need to develop sensitivity to the subtle frequencies that exist in nature that don't enter my superficial perception. And that's how I open myself up to additional pictures. So what follows is that our entire trip, actually from the very start, it begins immediately, only it includes guidance and the trip itself, meaning a talk and workshop, and that's how we advance. And a person starts feeling how they attain the vessels that allow them, the tools that allow them to permeate nature ever deeper. These are things that a person needs to discover by himself. This is something that you can't explain in words. Now, at this guidance or training, I heard you say that the training is done between people, the guidance, and here I suddenly hear you talk about nature too. How is it all connected? It's simply that the relations between people are the field or laboratory or place that are most convenient to us for this internal development. And that's why we use it. I'm not in a mutual connection with the animate or the vegetative or all the more the inanimate. In the meantime, for now, with man, yes, I can get a response from another person. The other person has the same goal as I do, suppose, to develop themselves and see the depth of all of nature, of all of reality, of all of creation. And then by that, we start helping each other. The entire guidance is about that. How do we mutually help each other to come out of myself and to enter the other person? And when we do enter each other mutually, then we start in that receiving new inner qualities, which are how to feel that which is beyond the range of my smell, taste, touch, etc. Therefore, this method is called the method of Kabbalah. Literally in Hebrew, it means to receive, how to correctly receive, perceive the right picture of nature, the complete picture of nature. And how does the connection that you mentioned previously, we're talking about connection all the time and our ability to connect, how is that related to this entire picture? Because what I need is to come out from under the limitations of my body. And the people around me, they help me in that. Together, mutually, we help each other, each to come a bit out of himself toward others. We stimulate each other through envy, lust, honor. A person's given different stimulations in order for him to want to do it, to try, to make an effort, as if for him to pay for it with his exertion. And then, when together we make an effort, then our general effort that exists between us, suppose we're a group that goes on a trip, 10 people, then this mutual effort works on everyone. Just like, for example, mountain climbers, where each helps, guards, keeps the others. And that's how we can reach the goal. The goal being, besides the picture that I see in my 5 senses, to come out of myself, and to start feeling what's beyond my body. Not what I perceive in my body, but that which exists outside of it. A kind of out-of-myself perception. That's actually what the trip is. And it doesn't erase my ordinary impressions, but only adds. Because what's outside of me are the roots to what I feel too. That's why I discover the roots to what goes on with me. And then the picture that I feel usually becomes richer, deeper, with causes and consequences. It's a journey into the depth of nature. And how is love related to all of this? Love is the key. Because I need to love that which is outside of me more than I love myself. It's the condition which allows me to come out as if of myself with my mind and heart and start feeling what goes on the outside. Otherwise, I will all the time want to receive inside of me. I need to make an effort here to really pay. I have to pay here by my effort to rise above my habits and above this little self, current self-love. Above this current little self-love and to love the external nature, to want to be there. There is a lot what to say about this, but mainly that love is a special inspiration that exists in us. If I know that I can enjoy a certain thing compared to the rest of the states, in which I suffer. The pleasure there is so great that I start imagining to myself, because I'm among 10 people and they're all talking about it, they're inspired by it. We're under this special kind of guidance in which we pass this inspiration on to each other. And then I so much want to come out of what I am now into this great big world that's outside of me, to this adventure.
that it really attracts me so much that it's called that I love it. And that I'm capable of it. And so much so that I even have a kind of fear that I won't be able to achieve it, that I won't be able to come out, and I'll constantly remain in my body and see the world like everyone. I already get this kind of inspiration, enlivened from the group, that I start thinking, feeling that I'm like in some kind of dungeon, locked inside my body, that I'm locked inside my body, and this body is like kind of really like a cage. I don't know, something that really limits and restricts you, that closes me in. It's like that sometimes you tie down mentally ill patients for them not to harm themselves with the hands and legs and everything. That's how I feel myself. That this is how I am in this kind of situation. And then the strong pressure to come out accumulates more and more until really I'm capable of tearing whatever is tying me down, and that's it. And I start feeling the real world that exists outside of me. That's not diminished by my limited senses. And from here on starts the trip into the depth of nature. It's like on a train, like on a, how to say, like in Jurassic Park. It's very exciting. It's really amazing what you just told us, because it really created a certain feeling that the greatest fear is to remain stuck in your previous state. Right. It's like I'll get stuck with a black and white TV when I can already be, you know, I'm taking to the simplest place, but the most simplistic thing, to remain on the lowest level. It's like people that are ill with claustrophobia that feel that they can't go into a closed room, into an airplane, because then they feel that it suffocates them. They stop breathing. And here, this is the kind of feeling that you have. What you're saying is really interesting, because it really reminds me of many people that recently I see that they feel lots of tension and pressure, so it pretty much explains what you're saying. Because in our development, we're gradually starting to already receive the desire to escape, to break through this shell in which we are. I think that it's something that could really help people understand that nature is kind of preparing them for this new trip, and everything that they're experiencing now is just in order to prepare them thoroughly toward this new exit. There are many factors in our world that lately are starting to awaken a deficiency in us to come out. That the more we'll advance in our world, the more we'll feel that we're incapable of resolving any problem here, and that the solution is really in the breakthrough. Our time's almost up. Enough? I have nothing to add. Now, you need to develop a manual's guide. Pamphlets that show, explain. And in summary, in conclusion, that which is ahead of mankind is to come to know that ahead of us there is a very special adventure in our life, into the depth of life, let's call it. and everyone needs to pay, but according to your exertion is your reward. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, our travel guide, Nitza Mazoz. You enjoyed it. I'm happy. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, I wish you all the best.